distractions, nothing to hold us back, so that we can walk out of here, each and every one of us, different, changed, touched by your presence and by your word. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. And everybody in agreement say,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to take turns and maybe we jump into each other's notes here every now and then. But I think I'm going to have my wonderful wife that has put up with me for all these years. I'll give her the honor of starting us out, and then I will
That's so sweet of you, trying to get some points.
I'm trying. I'm trying, baby.
Good.
Make note, I'm trying.
Good. Well, you know, I think back of our life of 31 years together. Never did I think in my wildest dreams that I would have the honor to stand in front of you and talk about marriage, be able to share with you the lessons we've learned about marriage, because there have been some times in our lives that were pretty dark. There have been some times in our lives that we've gone through a lot of change, we've gone through a lot of pain, and we were very well equipped to hurt one another when we first enter into marriage. As a Christian couple, as believers and all of that, somehow we were not well prepared. And we have an amazing life right now. We are truly, I am more in love with this man than the day I married him. He has become a part of me that I cannot even imagine being without. My best friend, he knows me, and it is just such a blessing. But you know, marriages are in trouble in this country. Marriages are in trouble all over the world. We know the statistics. It's 50%, just about 50% of all marriages in the United States end in divorce. We could have been one of those statistics. We're not standing here in front of you because we are all that. We're standing here telling you, if it was not for the grace of God, if it was not for the word of God, if it was not for us, just go bow low before the Lord and plead with God to teach us and to help us, we surely would have been one of those statistics. Sad to think also, did you know that 50% of kids in the United States today will experience a divorce in their homes? Their parents. And of those children, half of those will experience it for a second time. So there is nothing good, you know, to be said about this. The statistics look horrible, but we have the answer in God's word. And we want to share with you some things that we have gone through. And when it's my turn, I would like to tell you, for me as a wife, for me as a woman, what was my biggest struggle? And thinking back, I really struggled with my role. What was my role in my marriage? I grew up in the 60s. Now, you know, the women's lib movement was in full action then. We got married in the 80s. In the 80s, it's probably a time in history with one of the biggest gender role changes that went on during that time. As a young person in the church, I cannot remember, even growing up in a spiritual church, do you know, I cannot remember, maybe they were, but I cannot remember of a single message that explained and taught us from Scripture how to be a husband and how to be a wife. All I knew in the church back then, the only thing I ever heard and I knew, was wives, submit to your husbands. That's basically the extent of my teaching about what Scripture says about marriage. And then I knew in my heart of hearts there was something was missing. That cannot possibly be the whole picture, because now I get married to this man I love so much, and now I'm having problems. I'm having trouble to submit. I don't know what it should feel like. I don't know how I should do. I should just zip my lips. I should just serve. I should just disappear, you know, blend in the background. And I was not too good at doing that. Have I ever told you I'm sorry? No. You know, and that is that I knew there was something missing, that was not the whole picture. But when I looked at the world, that was not an option for me either. Because in the world at the time was, you know, women, you just go after your rights and all that. That was not an option for me either. So I needed some serious help. So God took me to the scripture in Ephesians that all of us know so well. Ephesians scripture that says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And then husband, in verse Ephesians 5:25 says, husband, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. Now my business was to do the submission part, right? Now I looked at this scripture and I thought by myself, well, I just saw, do you see my Bible here? It's worn out in this scripture, in this book, in Ephesians, you know, for good reason. So I looked at it and I thought, wow, why did Paul tell women to submit and men to love? Does that now mean that I don't have to love and he doesn't have to submit? That was the logic that I was struggling with. See that? Have you ever thought about that? Why did he tell women submit and men love? If that was the only thing we were to do, that would mean that I didn't have to love my husband and he didn't have to submit to me. Now, I knew that I was called to love, so that's not true either, because the Bible is clear that we need to love one another. It includes our spouse. So in John 13, the Bible says, a new command I give you that you love one another. And there's no option. We have to love one another. But just look at the scripture in Ephesians 5:22. The verse right before it says, wives, submit, says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So here it's clear to me now that it goes both ways. Now still the question is, why did Paul now pick that one thing to tell women and that one thing to tell men? Here is my resolution to this. First of all, I believe it is because we are the picture of the body of Christ. If you read the whole chapter of Ephesians, the picture that we need to be together is when we come together, we need to show the world the picture of Christ. The Bible says that in Ephesians. It's the analogy of the body of Christ to a husband and wife together. So when we do this, when we submit and when we love, we see how Christ is over the church and Christ loved the church and this church submit to him. Yet that was not enough for me. I knew there had to be more until it exploded in my head one day that, wow, I think that is the areas that we have the hardest time with. I had a very hard time with submitting. And women, we hide it very well, but the truth is we are stubborn. Women are stubborn, and I'm going to show you why. There's even a very good picture I can give you why. And men, why did Paul say men love as Christ loved the church? Because fundamentally, you know, in non-spirit-controlled, 100% non-spirit-controlled state, men are fundamentally selfish. Now, I would like to say that I don't think men have a problem submitting. I don't know if you will agree with me about that. Here's the condition, though. When men's husbands' needs are met, they don't have a whole list of needs. There are few fundamental needs in a man's life. If those needs are met, he is at peace with the world. He's not into the detail. He's not into the going on and on. When certain needs are met, submission is not even in a man's mind for the most part. It's like, I have my needs met, I'm cool, do whatever else you want to do. But not the girls. Oh my goodness, that is tough. Once a girl has made up her mind, we are so stuck in it.
Hallelujah.
And yes, yes. And I don't believe Paul had to tell women to love your husbands because it's not really a problem for us. A woman is desperate for love. She's looking for love. A woman wants to love. She wants to find somebody that she can just love. A woman doesn't say, I want to get married so I can submit to somebody. No. A woman says, I want to get married. I want to find somebody that I can love. So I have a picture here to show you where this all starts. The trouble starts in the brain. So I have a picture of a brain. Okay. That's actually brain matters, and pun is intended in there. Okay, so most men are left brain. I know some women who call their middle name for their husbands. It is Henny Left Brain Becker, you know, or Eleanor Right Brain. We're so fit that. Now, this fits, and gender-wise, 80% of you. So if you're a guy and you're over on that side, you're fine. It's okay. You can breathe deep and relax. Or if you're a woman and you're on the left brain side, that's also normal in 20% of the time. But for the most part, men are left brainers and women are right brainers. Now, just in looking at that, you can already tell There is the source. It's just how God created us to be. A man functions mostly in an analytical way, in a scientific, in a controlled way, in a systematic way. And then, of course, you have a little bit of both, but dominantly. And women, for the most part, function on the feel side, the passion, the yearning. Listen, a woman's brain is like a ball of wire. Just imagine wire.
Spaghetti.
I'll get to the spaghetti, but let me okay. just, yeah. A ball of live wire that's live, that's electricity running into it, and everything touches everything, okay? Or a spaghetti. I've got pictures up there of a bowl of spaghetti. Here is why it is hard for a woman to change, to submit, I want to say. We can change our mind easily because everything touches everything. But can you now imagine if you as a guy now want to come along and you want to fix us? Can you fix that spaghetti? Forget it, yeah. And have you tried? You surely have tried, but because you want me to fit on the other side. But can you imagine why we are so stubborn? It's really hard for us. It's hard to pull out one piece of spaghetti and nothing else get messed up. See? Everything touches everything. So it's really hard for a woman. It's, no, this is the way it should be because the cat of the neighbors are going to benefit by it and the kids at the soccer game and my mother-in-law and everything touches everything. And the guys go, it doesn't even make sense. On the other hand, men, that is so you in that picture.
Oh, yeah.
On the
especially
pie side.
Especially that one, the nothing box.
There is a nothing box. We talk about boxes, we talk about waffles, but I like that. See how neatly the pie is cut. And there's even a little piece of paper in between. So a man functions one slice at a time. And we eat spaghetti. I mean, just in that picture, that should help you to remember why it is so hard for a... Here it is, for a man. Now, say a guy is working on one piece of pie. He's eating one piece of pie. And the women wonder, where am I in the picture? And he says, no, it's not about you. It's the thing that I'm doing now. And we think, why can it not be about me? Why can you just be in one box at a time? If you do one thing, you don't think of all the other things. Okay? So that is why a man functions in order. And a man, for the most part, likes order. He doesn't always bring order, but he likes order. And he likes to be left alone in his segregated little life. So... Now we have a problem. So what does the Bible say? God is now saying, you, if you're a man or a woman, okay, but say you're the spaghetti person, you are on that side where the spaghetti is. Now God is saying, now you have to submit to the man. You see how that doesn't even make sense? See why that is so hard? But that is what I'm called to do. I am called to submit to the way he functions and the way he thinks. On the other hand,
God is a God of order.
Yes. And on the other hand, he is called to love the spaghetti. You know what, guys? If you can just fall in love with the spaghetti, life will be so easy. Don't try to understand it. For goodness sakes, do not try to fix it. Because it's messy. The more you try to fix the spaghetti, the more messy it gets. You just have to love it and treasure it and just learn to love to eat spaghetti and handle the mess. And girls, we just have to submit and be okay with eating one slice of pie at a time. I mean, just mentioning it is boring to me. One slice of pie. How many people eat one slice of pie? I eat a slice of pie and then I take the fork and I go a little piece of the next slice. How many of you have done that?
You grabbed some of my pie on my plate.
Right. So here we go. And this is what God has shown me in my life. This was to me a huge revelation that I'm not to fix him. He's not to fix me. But I have to understand him. And ultimately, I am responsible for my part. My part, which is as a woman, I have to love him. I have to submit to his way of thinking.
I remember Pastor Jim, he mentioned the other day, he said, you know, he fell in love with that part of Pastor Deborah. That he said, that's the funny part that he just fell in love with. And that's, I think, what we men have to learn to do, is just fall in love with the spaghetti and just learn to eat some spaghetti. It's okay.
Yeah, and it took you how many years?
Oh, forever.
Yeah, took a long time. took us a long time, a lot of, and it seems simple, and it's, but it truly took us a long time for me. It took me a long time to learn this and to get a grip on this and to flow with how my husband was created and to submit myself to him. So, how's our time? Do you want to go with the next piece?
Maybe just the last point.
Okay. Let me share with you. How do you do that? How in the world do you do that? I've got a couple things here that I can tell you as girls. It's going to cost you, for guys and the girls, it's going to cost pain. It's going to cost a lot of dying. And it's going to cost a lot of work. But here we go. Short and sweet. For the women, put God first. Listen, if God wasn't first in my life, I would no longer be with this man. I just won't, not because of him, but because of me. If you think about that, when Eve was created, who was the first man she ever saw? Think about that. Is that maybe why Adam had to sleep? I mean, God took Eve and took her over to him, and he was asleep when she was created, right? So there's a longing in our heart. I mean, girls, no man can fill the void in your heart that God can fill. So you have, if God is not number one, really, then everything else is not going to fall into place. So really, for real, you need to put God number one and not put all that pressure on your husband to act like God. We sometimes expect him to act like God and God to act like our husband. But we have to put God first. Secondly, see your husband as God's son. That was an aha moment in my life. I will remember the day when God spoke to me. I was complaining to God about my husband. Girls, can you raise your hand or you want to sit real still? Yes, I saw a hand go up there. I was complaining to God about my husband. He's doing this and he's doing, God, I don't understand him. And God spoke a word to me and he said to me, he is my son and I love him. It just shocked me from the inside out. And I realized I cannot treat this man any which way I like. I have to treat him knowing that God is passionate about him, that he belongs to God. And then the last thing, let your husband be the first recipient of all your gifts and talents and strengths. We don't have time to look at the word help meet in Genesis when God created the help meet. That word help really means bringing strength, as in an army, a force of an army. Also the same word that says God is my helper. It's a very, very strong word. Where, girls, ladies, where do you apply your strengths, your talents, and your gifts? Is it with your children? Is it with your grandchildren? Is it in your workplace? Where is this? God's calling is that needs to go to your husband. Your husband should be the first recipient, the first line of receiving line of the strengths and talents in your life. And that then you become one. And when you add your strength to your husband, then that is a winning team according to God. Here's for the guys. God first. Again, you will never understand us. You will never get us. You will never be able to fix us. But you can surely love us. And the only way you're going to do that, our spaghetti brains, and you're going to love us, is when you put God first. Because then God enables you. Here is the second thing I want to tell the guys. Listen, remember, if you remember one thing I say tonight, the second point for men, dance with your wife. Do you know what I mean by that? Dance with her physically, spiritually. Dance with your wife. As I'm thinking about this, this is what a wife wants. She wants to be led. She wants to submit to your steps. But don't yell at her from across the room. Okay? Come up close. Nurture her. Cover her. Treasure her. And you will find that she is submitting to your lead in this dance called life.
We did that the other day. Before breakfast, there was some music on and it was a nice song. And so I said, grab the moment. Let's just dance.
And the kids, disappear.
Yeah, they like, and they just kind of, this is a little weird.
Okay. But you know, if you see that as a relationship between the husband and wife, and guys, just approach your wife, now emotionally also, not just spiritually, physically. Do you guys know what I mean by that? You are silent. Guys, do you know what I mean when I say dance with your wife? Not just in the physical, but in an emotional sense also. Be close to her, approach her, lead from up close, not yell at her from a distance, and you will see her heart change. And for goodness sakes, lastly, guys, be gentle. Be gentle, and these are things that I've seen in my husband's life that he also had to learn. He had to learn to be gentle with me. He had to learn that I break easily. So be gentle with your wives because they are fragile and they break easily. And these things are some of the things that we've learned. And again, it's taken a lot of tears, a lot of hard work, a lot of patience, a lot of long suffering, a lot of power of God working in us to get to the point where I can really submit to Him, submit myself to Him, and where He can really fall in love with every piece of me, even Praise my inconsistencies.
Praise the Lord. Great job, baby. You look so gorgeous tonight.
Okay,
I just fall all over in love with you again.
You need to look here.
Oh, okay. You know, I have very little time left, so I'm just going to tell you, I have a pastor's heart. I cannot help it, but just talk to you from the perspective of a pastor. I care about your eternity. I care about your future. I really want for you to succeed the way God wants for you to succeed. God loves you with such a passion. Do you know that? Do you know that God loves you? Tell somebody there next to you, He loves you. More than you can ever imagine, He loves you. And He wants the best for you. And if I have to just pick two things quickly that, because really, we can write volumes about what God has done for us in our relationship and our marriage through the years. But there's a couple of things that I ask God, what do I say? I have a few minutes to say. What do I say? And God showed me two things that I need to share with you. And I think the first thing is that you need to understand the bigger picture. You know, even this whole marriage series, there's a bigger picture that God would want for you to see. If you look in Scripture, everywhere in Scripture, you see talking about a marriage and a wedding. And hey, wouldn't you know it? We are getting ready for the biggest marriage ceremony ever. Amen. How many of you are ready for that big celebration waiting for us in heaven? Boy, can you imagine what kind of a celebration that is going to be? All the years that Christ had to go and prepare a place for us so that we can be with Him forever. That's the bigger picture. Sometimes we can get so bogged down with the small things in life. You know, this relationship right here just between us, and we've missed the bigger picture. And the big picture, when you look at it, you see in Scripture, Revelation 19:7, as they put up the scripture there, it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready." His wife has made herself ready. And that's the key that I want for you to, every single one of you in this room tonight. God wants you to be ready to be the bride of Christ. So everything here on earth, I've learned, everything on earth is kind of just a picture of someday eternity with God. And the whole thing about marriage, everything that we're supposed to learn in this marriage series is just there to prepare us for a relationship with Jesus, the Lamb, that is going to be the groom someday, and we're going to be the bride. Can I get an amen? So Scripture is very clear. All of us, we need to get ready. We need to prepare ourselves. Because if you don't, you may not enter into the kingdom of God. Pastor, where do you see that? Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 1 says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet," who? "The bridegroom." So again, the picture of the marriage, of the big marriage that's coming. And so very clearly, Scripture tells us that of the 10, that all of them are waiting, all of them, you know, they represent all the Christians that think that someday they're going to be in heaven and they're going to be the bride of Christ. But according to Scripture, if you read the whole of Matthew 25, that section, it tells you that half of them weren't really ready. They weren't ready. They thought they were ready, but when the moment came, they weren't. Their hearts were not ready. Scripture says they didn't have enough oil, and all of a sudden they're trying to get some oil. Why? What is the oil there for? The oil is there for to shine the light. Without oil, the lamp is not going to burn, and there's going to be no light. God wants you and me to really be able to shine the light and to be the light of the world. And so all of this is relevant to our relationship someday with God. And I think that includes every single one of us in this room. It's not just for married couples that we talk about when we talk through this marriage series. We all need to learn about loving. We all need to learn about caring and honor and respect. We need to learn that right here, right now. We have this little bit of time here on earth to get ready. So learning to love is really, for me, what it's all about. We really need to learn to love. And so the first point for me is don't get bogged down in the small detail and the little things. Understand the bigger picture. There's a bigger picture for all of us. There's a bigger picture, and that is that all of us are getting ready for this great marriage with the Lamb someday. Secondly, as we talk about loving, you know, having the love of God inside of us, that's what we're supposed to get prepared for. We are preparing ourselves to be the bride. Amen? How do we do that? You know, because that's really your testimony. That's really my testimony that we're supposed to have. As a pastor, many times I have to do funerals. And it's amazing to me so many times. The thing that mostly stand out for people, family members, when I try to say something nice about the person that is deceased, I say, this person just had such a loving heart, you know. What stands out for them is that loving character that they had. And then you get to some funerals where there's just nothing that you said, you know, and you just know. You just know, oh boy, this person was probably the feisty one in the family, the one that that was really hard to relate with, tough to deal with. And so there's not really much to say about this person. You see, God wants for all of us someday to have a testimony. A testimony that we've accepted the love of God, and we are able to take that love and reflect it to those around us, and especially for those that we're married to, especially those that are closest to us, for us to be able to love the way Christ loved the church. See, in the word testimony, and I'll close with this. In the word testimony, you'll find the word test. And boy, have we been through some tests as a couple. When those pressures come in life, and there are many of them that'll come for all of us, it's those pressures that really reveal what is on the inside of your heart. And I remember the kind of pressures that we went through as a couple. We, as a matter of fact, I think we did 4 international moves in our life. You know what that means, an international move? It means you just get rid of everything, and you just get on the plane, and you go somewhere and start all over. You think that puts some pressure on you as a couple? Believe me, that'll do it for you. I'm counting 4 because for me, coming from the East Coast all the way here, that was like an international move, okay? Because that's really what we did. We just got rid of everything, start all over again. Financially, many times, there was some real pressure. When I was in the hospital for 3 months, you know, I was burnt all over my body. 75% of my body was burnt. Talk about pressure on my dear wife. And what I need for you guys to understand, when you go through those pressures and those tests, boy, your relationship really need to be strong to survive that. I've seen so many couples, after they come through a real time of pressure and test, they just fall apart. They just can't handle that kind of stress. So how do you get through that? How do you do that? Only way to do that is to really be in the will of God all the time. To make sure, like Pastor Jim always also says, you know, if you're not going to be in the will of God, if you don't know that you know that you're in God's will, you know, the very first time that we came to the United States, we were born and raised in South Africa, for those of you that don't know. When we came here, boy, God spoke to me very clearly. He didn't speak to her yet. I needed to make sure that God speak to my wife also. I knew as much that I'm not going to try to force her just to do what I feel God has told me. I'm going to make sure that God speak to her also so that we can be in agreement. And you know, when you're in agreement and then stuff happens, then you'll walk through it in peace. That's when I was burned. I went through all that stuff in the hospital, and my wife and I, as much pressure as we had on us, we knew we were in the will of God, and because we were in the will of God, we can handle all that pressure, and we can come out victorious on the other end. Amen? That's very key for you to understand. And for you young people, listen, for those of you who are still thinking about marriage, you know, we met each other physically in the church. That's a good thing for you to do. Find your spouse busy serving God. If you want to be successful, I tell you, that will put you ahead a little bit. If you can just look for that, don't look at the looks. You'll miss it. Look at the heart. If you can look at the heart and understand who this person really is, that'll help you so much. There's enough pressure, enough tests that'll come in life. Try to find somebody that can serve God with you. That'll help you a lot to be successful in your relationship. So my time is up, but here's the thing, okay? First of all, try to understand marriage. It's not just about your relationship with your spouse. So much more than that. It's about you understanding God is busy preparing. You are in this relationship. Boy, and how different we are. We are so different. As different as we are, God put us together. And God wants us to learn to love, learn to forgive, learn to respect, learn to honor one another the way He cares about us. How to be faithful. That's what God wants us to learn. And so if you see the bigger picture that God is really just preparing you for someday, your relationship with the big groom, you and me are the bride of Christ, and someday we'll all be together in heaven, and we'll enjoy that big wedding feast. And right now we're learning about this thing called relationships and loving and caring about each other. See that and understand that. And secondly, make sure your testimony is a testimony that is filled with the love of God. People will be able to someday say, this man was filled with the love of God. How do you know, by the way, that you really have a loving heart? I'll give you a quick test. Is that okay? How many of you want a quick test to know that you have the love of God in your heart? Watch little kids around you. You know, kids are so innocent. They can't lie. When you see those little kids and they run up to you and, you know, they have no problem being around you, you have a loving heart. But when they kind of shy away from you, they see you as the grumpy one. They see you as the one that they're kind of scared of. Hey, you better start working in your heart. I just love my grandsons. I have two grandsons. It's the most wonderful thing for me to just have a good relationship with the one that now already, you know me well. And boy, that little boy, he runs up to me. He loves his grandpa. I worked on that relationship. From the beginning, I wanted that to be a good, godly, loving relationship. Someday, I know, if I lay my head down, I know that little boy will miss his grandpa because he knows how much I've loved him. And he loves me. God wants you and me to have loving hearts. And that counts for your spouse especially, but for all the people around you, because all of us are getting ready for that big wedding feast. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now listen. I don't want you to just walk out of here tonight and you're hurting in your heart. How many of you are married here in the house tonight? Let me see. Well, a number of you. You know, it's Christmas time. God wants you to be blessed. And maybe tonight, he wants you to walk out with the biggest gift that you can ever receive this Christmas. How about the gift of really feeling loved? The gift of really knowing there's forgiveness between you and your spouse. So I'm going to challenge you right here, right now. I'm going to ask you, if you know there's some stuff going on in your relationship between you and your spouse, why don't you just respond and let God do a miracle for you tonight in your relationship. Tonight is your night. You didn't come here just by chance. I believe this is an appointment that God has with you. So every couple that's here, maybe you just need to squeeze each other's hand if you say, yeah, let's do that. You feel the pressures. You know, maybe it's financial pressures. Whatever kind of pressure it is that you're feeling the squeeze and boy, your relationship, you know, is not what God would want it to be. If he comes tonight, maybe you know that he will not find that your relationship is as godly as it should be. Come on up quickly. I want to pray for you right now. Come up here to this altar. Anybody? Come on up. Come on up. Yeah? Everybody just stand. Everybody just stand. We're going to pray. Just take a minute and just pray for these couples. I mean, this is God's house. We're God's family. And God is here tonight to touch your hearts and help you to grow and walk out of here different than what you came in. Come on up. Come on up. It's your night tonight. God wants to restore some stuff in your hearts. We're going to help you with that. My wife will be here and we'll help you. We'll pray over you and we'll do a couple of things that will help you just quickly. Okay? Anybody else? Come on up. Don't let the devil tell you, we're okay. He wants to rob you. Don't let him rob you. Come up, receive what God has for you. Come quickly. Anybody else? Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can come. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how he loves you. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants to bless you more than you can ever imagine. So now listen. If your spouse is right next to you, I want you to do something for me. I want you to just turn towards each other and You know, just look at each other for a second there. I want you to do something really godly, okay? I want you to take a moment and say to each other, you know, just repeat these words after me. We call it the reset around here. Just do what the Bible tells us to do anyway, okay? It says, if I've hurt you in any way, would you please forgive me? For that I'm sorry, and would you please forgive me? Just say that to each other. Take turns and say that to each other. And then you can give each other a hug. Only God can help you to really be able to forgive. You can't forgive in your own strength. It's God that enables you to let it go. Just look at each other and say, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. I love you. I want to love you the way God loves me.
While you're talking to each other, all the wives, we learned tonight that it's God's will that you bring your strengths, your gifts, your talents, all of the giftings that God has gifted you as a woman with so amazingly. It's God's will that you attach yourself to your husband and bring that to his life. And if you haven't done that in your marriage, tonight is the night that you can make that commitment. So ladies, just talk to your husband just for a moment and tell him that it's your desire to be the godly wife and that you are deciding tonight you are bringing your strength and your gifting all to him to be the wife that God has created to stand next to your husband. Why don't you just talk to them about that? Tell him, I'm going to support you. You are my first line, first recipient of my giftings and talents.
Guys, listen to me just for a second. I didn't have time to get into this, but I'll just quickly tell you. At the Last Supper, we see the picture of what love really looks like. Jesus bowed down, washed his disciples' feet. He served them. He loved them. Husbands, stop being full of pride. Start serving the way Christ served his disciples and loved them. Tell your wife next to you, I'm going to do better at serving you. I'm going to do the best I can to serve you and love you the way Christ gave me that example. Would you just tell her quickly? And then we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask the whole congregation just to extend your hands out towards the front here as we pray over all these couples. Father, I thank you for tonight. And tonight, Lord, as every one of these couples come here at the altar, Lord, they've come to you. You're there. Help. You're the one that can help them. You're an ever-present help in times of trouble. And I don't know all the stuff that they've been going through, but Lord, you know. As a pastor, I pray for them. I pray that you strengthen them. I pray that you will help them to overcome the evil one that wanted to rob from them all the blessings that you have for them as married couples. Strengthen them, Lord, in their relationship. Fill them with your love like only you can fill them, Father. And Lord, we're looking forward to great testimonies of couples that are just, they're just going to fall more and more in love than ever before. We ask it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all of us shout together, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God some praise. Thank you, guys. You can go back to your seats. Glory to God. Hey, also while you're standing, we are going to celebrate that we can bring to the Lord our tithes and our offerings. Are you ready for that? Amen. Are you ready? So we're just going to do this confession of our faith.